Yeah, it's the, hang on a second. Maybe. Just in case. Yeah, that yellow one right there. Thanks, Matt. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. And so now Luke is going to, he's basically going in chronological order for the most part. And now he's going to start dealing with the teaching, the actual teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. And in other books like Matthew, it's the Beatitudes and stuff like that. But this, we're just going to cover 6-7 verses here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. The idea of what's going on, you've got two kingdoms in conflict. You've got the world that has its, you know, it's generally made up of the motivations of the people are based on the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's sort of the way things move in the world and the world system, so to speak. And the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, it's not built on those things. It's built on holiness and righteousness and goodness, things like that. And so these kingdoms are, they're in conflict in the sense that there are people who belong to Jesus Christ's coming kingdom, but they're living in this world that is diametrically opposed to what's coming. And so in this world, there are, and with this in mind, I say this world, the world has an expiration date. It's gonna eventually fade away. It doesn't last. It's just not capable of lasting. It's corrupted. And these things that have corrupted it, the sin and the motivations of the people, they're just not lasting values. They're not lasting things. But Jesus Christ is going to contrast and compare and really start to define what people who belong to the coming kingdom look like, and what the priorities are and what the characteristics are and things like that. And so that said, let's just read these verses. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 20. So the Bible says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." So there's specific reason people are being isolated and being cast out, and in some countries, this is very evident how this happens. Someone trusts Jesus Christ, they become a Christian, and immediately they lose their job, they lose access to their family and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily that bad here in our country right now. Maybe in some families it is, but that's the idea, is that you brought Jesus Christ into your life, and therefore you are now isolated from certain people. Verse 23, "Rejoice ye in that day, leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you three aspects of this kingdom, kind of sum up some of the blessings and the cursing, so to speak. But this is the idea, and this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. He's got these kingdoms that are at war and at odds with each other, and the people that are a part of this coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, They have to live. They have to still continue to live and exist in this world that they live in. And so that said, let's pray and let's talk about these things. Father, I do pray that you would help us understand what we're reading, and pray that you would, I thank you for your words. Thank you for good singing this morning. Thank you for all the folks that are here. Thank you for eternal life in Jesus Christ and light and just direction and guidance in life. And I pray that you would help us this morning, help us to focus on things we need to focus on, minimize distractions, and that's why we're gathered here, I think, is to hear something from you and get something from you. And I pray we would, and I pray we could, and I pray that you'd feed your flock today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this said, you've got two descriptions in the Bible. Well, I mean, I'd say two. There's multiple, but the two that come to mind is this present evil world versus the world to come. And that's the setup there. There's a world to come, and then there is this present evil world. And the present evil world is, like I said, it moves by these motivations: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. These are the motivations that move men to do the things they do, and women and people, and people who participate in the system this way. The coming kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and this is what Christians are looking for, is the return of Jesus Christ. Just like the first coming, people were looking for the Messiah to show up, and maybe they had some different expectations about him, but the first coming, Jesus Christ, he dies on the cross, and of course he offers then forgiveness. God offers forgiveness through Jesus Christ to anybody who would come. And then the second coming is the physical return of Jesus Christ to this earth in order to do away with the corruption that entered into the world in the first place, to fully do away with all of that. And so you've got these things in conflict, because he hasn't done away with this present evil world. He allows it to continue, and he allows his people to continue living in it. And so at this point in the book of Luke, Luke starts to get into really the authoritative teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It deals with, like I said, the coming kingdom. And, we'll get to it in just a second. But if you are a part of, you've trusted Jesus Christ, you are a Christian who has trusted Jesus Christ, your future — I know we talk about, you know, go to heaven and be in heaven and all that stuff — your real future is on this earth. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and this is where all of his people will live. This is where we will all be. And so that's you'll see this in a second, but I'll deal with some of the rewards and stuff in a minute. But kingdoms in conflict. There is these kingdoms that are in conflict. Paul would say it this way, that Jesus Christ would judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And so this is the future that we are waiting for. In the meantime, there are some characteristics of people who will follow Jesus Christ in this lifetime. And there he's going to give you four blessings. He's going to give you some warnings as well. And this really regards the kingdom values. What's the economy of this kingdom? What does it look like? And let's take these apart and go through them. So in verse 20, Jesus lifts up his eyes on his disciples, and after he's chosen 12 men to be apostles and deputized them to do what they do, he comes back down, and now he's talking to all of these disciples, a lot of people that are following him. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, this is clarified in Matthew and for sure, but poor is not talking about financially poor. Poor is needy. And so he says things like poor, it's poor in spirit, someone who is needy, someone who is, and not needy in the sense of, you know, I need attention or something like that, but needy in the sense of, I understand, I don't have, I need the righteousness of God, I need to be pardoned of my sin, I need things from the Lord, I need things. And the contrast is, you go to Revelation, and the Lord is talking to this Laodicean assembly, and he says, you're rich, you're increased with goods, and you have need of nothing. You don't need anything from me. And that's the contrast. So poor is needy, someone who needs something from God. I need help from God. I need light from God. I need direction from God. I need guidance from God. I need righteousness. I need all of these things. Compared to, well, I'm rich and I have everything I need. Lord, I don't need anything from you. All right, so the people of the kingdom, of God's coming kingdom, of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the people who need things from God. They know it. In reality, everybody needs something from the Lord. They need multiple things. We all do. There are just some who understand that they need things from the Lord, and some who are too self-righteous or too reliant on things that won't last to admit or to accept that they need things from the Lord. So he says, first of all, blessed be ye poor. You could say poor in spirit, needy, something like that. And that's sort of the definition of it. There's a good cross reference in this, and I think I'll just read it to you. It's in Isaiah. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one. I know I've read this 100 times, but thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. High and lofty inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. This is God Almighty. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also. Where else does God live? What's his address? Where does a spirit live like that? Where is it? I dwell in a high and holy place. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble heart. That's the address of God. That's where he lives. That's where the Spirit of God makes his home. And so with that said, he says to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. These are people who are needy. These are people who need something from God. I am broken about sin, which we'll get to. Broken about sin. I'm broken about my own state. I understand. I am just, my body is corrupt and it's headed for a grave. I need eternal life. I need someone to make this physical stuff incorruptible. I need righteousness. I need holiness because what I participate in right now is corruptible. The fashion of this world passes away, all that kind of thing. And so Jesus Christ explains, first of all, blessed are the poor. In my kingdom, blessed are the poor in spirit. Contrasted with the world's kingdom, blessed are the rich. Blessed are the ones who have the money. Blessed are the ones who have the power. Blessed are the ones who are in places of influence. So this is the contrast. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And so Isaiah had said it in the Old Testament. Look, there's God dwells here, and he also dwells in this low place, in the humble hearts of his people. So blessed are the poor. This is a kingdom value. This is the blessings of this coming king. Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Why would yours be the kingdom of God? It's what you need. This is what you're looking for. I'm looking for a coming king. I'm not looking for eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, and I can hear, and that's it. I'm looking for something coming. Not just something coming, I'm looking for Jesus Christ coming. When he brings in righteousness, when he brings in all of the good things that last, that are a part of eternal life. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Then he says in verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now. Does that mean physically you're hungry? No. And this is where most people get messed up, with just like Nicodemus. Jesus Christ would say something and it would immediately be applied to your physical state of being. Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, I can't, you know, how am I going to enter a second time in my mother's womb? It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something spiritual. You got to be born of the Spirit. And this is where a lot of people get messed up. You can say, we got to take the Bible literally. Take it literally where you can. Take it physically where you can. But a lot of people get messed up just like Nicodemus because Jesus Christ is saying something that is a spiritual thing. Just like circumcision. When he says circumcision, the Jews are like, okay, circumcision, circumcision, circumcision. And he's like, I'm talking about your heart. Your heart needs to the flesh cut away from it. Spiritual. So he says, blessed are they which do hunger now. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. What is hunger? What does that sound like? Well, it sounds like something that Matthew recorded that Jesus said, that you should hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you're hungry for it, you're looking for it. I mean, you just think of how maybe in your own life, just maybe in your own life, how often is there this need for the righteousness of God? How often do you seek out the righteousness of God? I would submit to you, most of our time we take up defending ourselves or justifying ourselves or justifying our actions. We're not looking for the righteousness of God. We're trying to convince you that I'm right. I'm trying to convince you that I'm justified in how I act. But Jesus Christ says, no, blessed are ye that hunger now. You're looking for the righteousness of God. You're hungering and thirsting after something only God can give you. Blessed are ye which do hunger now and thirst after righteousness. I think it's in Matthew. So there's an appetite for God's righteousness. And he says, that's going to be filled. I'll fill that. He says over to, it's in John 4, where the woman at the well, she says, give me this water. Probably go out again. It was doing this the other day. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. He says this, and Paul's really going over the doctrine. I mean, he's laying out the teachings and the foundation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. What's happened here? So verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So what's to the Jew is to the Gentile. And that was a big deal. That was a big problem for the Jews to understand. But he says, what's what was